All right, meeting to order at 8:12 committee time. Oh, and let the records reflect, we have Representative Sisna, Representative Newman, Representative Salmon, Representative Ledoux, Co-Chair Olson, and Co-Chair Thomas present today. And today we'll bring up HB 249 first and then HB 9. And we've heard HB 249 previously under another title, so we'll have the new sponsor explain to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to be here. For the record, I am Representative Mike Hawker. Mr. Chairman, with the indulgence of the co-chairs here in the committee, earlier on in the session, House Bill number 74 was introduced, prime sponsorship by Representative Holm. I believe you folks have had a hearing or more on that bill. For various reasons, Representative Holm did not wish to continue as prime sponsor on the bill. I wanted to pick up that bill and continue through the committee process with it, and we determined that the most efficient manner to accomplish that would be that I would reintroduce a new bill, which is now House Bill 249, and then that would come to your committee and hopefully continue through the process with your indulgence and support. It is the bill that was introduced. We introduced it in cooperation with the co-chairs of your committee, and the format that is in front of you, House Bill 249, the A version, is a bill that had been, the language in this bill was developed by your co-chairs and was going to be committee substituted for House Bill 74. So what we've really done here is I have simply stepped into the shoes of Representative Holm in carrying the bill forward in the same, hopefully picking up exactly where you had left off in your last discussions with Representative Holm.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hawker, then we're looking at G, correct? Version G?
Yeah, we guess we better adopt CS, yes.
Move to adopt 24LS0853/G is the working document of the committee.
House Bill 249?
Yeah, House Bill 249.
Thank you. No objections. Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hawker, I'll just tell you flat out the problem that I have with this. Maybe you can explain to me why I should vote for it. Is at $2 on every line that's out there. You know, I support the 911, enhanced 911, but $2 with a part in here that says a surcharge may not exceed $2 unless the surcharge is imposed by ordinance approved by voters. So it can increase above and beyond that $2. Now, we've got $2 on every fax line, $2 on every internet line. If you have shared services on a cell phone, we have heard testimony that over 50% of E91 or emergency 911 phone calls that come in from cell phones. Yet, with a cell phone, they can't identify location except for the ownership or the house, you know, where the bill goes to. So it's kind of a mute thing there. We've got companies, school districts, large companies that have thousands of telephones. This is going to put a huge bill on them monthly of they can have a minimum of 100 telephones that are charged on this, or maximum of 100 telephones. That's $2,000 a month just on cell phones that they can't track where nobody's at on there. I feel that this is just way too much money to spend on it because in my own home, you've got a fax line coming in. You've got a high-speed internet coming in. We've got shared services of my wife and my kids do on cell phones, but they each have a number, so that's another $6 right there. I've got my regular line coming in. So that's $12, $14 in my cell phone. That's $14 in surcharges on E911 right there. And if I called emergency 911 on any one of those cell phones or any one of those lines, it would just go right back to my house. And I'm not there. And I have trouble with supporting that. Can you explain to me why I should?
Through the chair, sir, Representative Newman, we must be very careful not to lose sight that What this bill is about is saving lives. Bottom line, this bill is about safer communities. I don't believe there's a single legislator who has not campaigned actively on making communities safer. Making communities safer here requires a certain capital investment and a sustained funding source to provide the equipment, the resources necessary so that when anyone, when they do, they pick up that phone, they dial 911, they expect to find a human being on the other end of that line answering them to provide the critical services. The graphic illustration was in my district where an individual was laying on the ground, shot, bleeding, dialed 911. 911 could not identify her. She laid on the ground most of the night. She was very fortunate to survive. What this bill is about is giving our communities the resources to move Alaska forward, bringing into place the technology we need to respond to this sort of emergency. When the technology is there, and albeit it may not be perfect, and certainly I don't pretend to be able to sit here and debate the technology with you. We have experts that can tell you what technology is available today and how the GPS system will be able to work on in the different levels of enhanced 911 that are available and will become available to us as we improve our ability to pinpoint locations. But so, Keith, not lose sight of what we're trying to do here. We must provide our communities with these a resource that provides them the ability to take this technological investment forward. Now, your reference to a $2 surcharge, I would point out that the surcharge is in language that states it may not exceed $2. Again, being a very strong proponent of local control and self-determination myself, I want to put as much latitude in the hands of the people who would be making the decision through their local elected representatives on the level of surcharge that would be charged to people. We're not saying it must be $2 or it must be more. Some communities, frankly, the arguments over the last couple of years, some communities would like a much higher surcharge. Other communities say, no, we can get by with much less than that. But in order, however, to working with the phone companies, working with the parties at issue here, the language of not to exceed $2 was a negotiated position that's found acceptability in the phone industry, in the communities, those that are worried that this might be a backdoor tax on folks and, used to supplant local communities' general funds. So I think what we've got here, and your points are very merited, but we've got a bill here that strikes a very reasonable balance between providing the necessary public services that we need to save lives without placing individuals at a risk of a runaway government and excessive taxation.
Representative Ledoux.
Representative Newman mentioned that even under an enhanced 911 service, that you wouldn't be able to pinpoint if somebody calls in from a cell phone. Is that correct?
Now, through the chair, Representative Ledoux, I would defer that question to one of the 911 people more familiar with the technology and the leading edge on that. I don't know if that would be one of our probably folks that I presume we have online with our law enforcement agencies who could give you a better idea of what technology is and is expected to become available.
Thank you,
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hawker, just. The way things are right now, there already is a 911 system emergency where they can locate back into the house, correct? I know there is because
through the chair, Representative Newman. In some areas of the state, yes. In other areas of the state, which is a whole other issue that we're going to have to address as legislators someday, services are not available statewide, although that is a federal mandate.
But most of the larger rural areas, they already have the E91. And I say this, and this is a very important thing that I'd like everybody here to know and everybody within who can hear me, is to call your telephone companies and revise your directions to your house for emergency 911, because they do have those systems in place so that they can find your house. A lot of times you have new subdivisions, there's new houses that go up, your house changes color, and call the telephone companies, let them know, you know, where you are, and it's called just renewing your directions for your 911 and what you're talking about, because they do have that already. Also here it says that the borough must share revenue with other cities within that. There's no rate for that. Also, I'm a little disconcerted with the idea of the GPS is in the telephones, and I know that I had talked to several others earlier on this. I think the last thing in the world that I want is somebody tracking where I'm at every point of the day, you know, and it's only a matter of time before government or somebody wants to know that information. That I don't know how we would try and keep that privileged information, you know, if we all had a cell phone with a GPS in our pocket, and you know, somebody tries to get a hold of the telephone company and says, well, where's this guy been? And I think that troubles me a little bit.
Through the chair, 2 points here again. Want to emphasize this bill provides the maximum respect for the principle of local control and self-determination, that those allocations between a borough and its communities are to be determined by the borough and those communities, the elected officials and the people in those communities. I'm uncomfortable dictating at the state level how communities should handle a specific negotiation. The also, again, and I would defer to the technology experts for a better, a more complete answer, but there are, you know, the technology does not become a bug in your pocket. The technology becomes, there's elements, and I won't have the right words for it, but ability so that the locator is triggered only on certain instances when it needs to be triggered.
Representative Newman.
And I believe we heard from AT&T the last time we heard from one of the representatives from the telephone companies, and they testified against this bill. They testified against this bill on the idea that they didn't care because they feel that people are going to buy less cell phones, and it's just another charge. But they testified against this bill. Were you aware of that?
Through the chair, Representative Newman, for 2 years I've been working with the telephone companies to resolve their concerns with the bill. I have a letter dated February 24th, 2005. That was this year, to Senator Con Bundy, who is carrying a companion bill in the Senate. And if I may, with indulgence, cite from the letter, that AT&T has been following the issue of enhanced surcharges with interest and concern since last year, that the Senate substitute for their bill with the $2 per line ceiling and provisions to exceed that with voter approval represents a fair compromise. So, again, this is the process of legislation. The phone companies have their own concerns about being and it's largely based not in providing the services, but in becoming an agent for collecting the fees. They were very concerned with an unlimited ceiling, and we've very definitely been working with the industry to accommodate those concerns so that, again, they would be able to meet us at this table and recognize the priority that we must give to improving public safety in communities.
I guess that was cell one or somebody. I don't know if I'd have to go back on record, but it was. I know that it's not unanimous, that opinion among the, because they called and testified again.
We'll say something. Representative Olson.
Yeah, I believe the issue came back to the original version of House Bill 74 when it was $5, and that's when there was a lot of concern that it. $5 or up to $5 that the telephone utilities might start losing lines. Representative Hocker, have you had anybody call in at the 75 cents that it's currently at to your office in the last couple of years complaining?
Through the chairs, no, sir.
Representative Ledoux.
Will this bill have any effect on areas of the state which currently have no 911 service, let alone enhanced 911 service? I know we've got some villages in around Kodiak Island that You can't call 911.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, it is not the intent of this bill, and this bill does not allow the placement of surcharges where there's no service being provided.
But would this bill have any impact on whether there are going to be services provided in those places?
Through the chairs, yeah, I believe that one could interpret this bill as a vehicle in which those local phone companies could work along with their local municipalities to work on getting service in place. The limits on 911 service statewide have a very different complexity, particularly where we are. The first responder may very well not be in the community where the crisis is occurring. So there's a number of significant issues that we've got to overcome, and certainly from my own perspective, it's something that I want to see our legislature continue to work on, providing this better access to public safety services in the state. And where you're getting to is what I would very much like to pick up and work with someone on in a separate vehicle to address those areas of the state where we need simply to establish first responder contact capability.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hawker, last year I was on this committee, and well, the last term, and we spent lots of time looking over this. And the thing that I think is critical here is the adding the municipality here on the first page, which brings it down to a local choice on what it may impose, because that was my huge concern on this, was that it felt like it was a blanket requirement for the whole state, which obviously just isn't going to work in a lot of places. But and then also the vote of the local voters is important. Question I am asking, and Representative Newman brought this up, and I know that was something we were discussing, and it's different equipment does different things, but as I recall, when the phone number is one of these boxes that then has, like in the state building in Anchorage, you've got, you know, 100 phones or something like that attached, or sometimes more than that. Is there any provision here for where there's huge numbers of numbers that are attached to the address? Is it really the charge goes to every single one of those phones?
Through the chairs, and again, without going into the complexities of specific systems, in this case, we would look at the access, again, this definition of access lines that provide phone service to wireline phones in the area. And the issue here, let's see, let me get to the right place. For each wire, you know, let's see, that's wireless numbers and local exchange access lines. You know, the intent here, I believe, and I have to be corrected if I'm wrong, I have one of my technology people correct me, but the issue was to take this to where the service would be available if you're in your office here in the Capitol and you have a fire in your office and you find yourself in need of 911 services. I don't know how that might happen, but it's entirely possible. You're dialing that phone line, you dial 911. It's my understanding that currently the way the E911 system here would read is that it would show that this crisis was occurring off in the administration building somewhere, because that's where the phone switch is. And the idea is to get the services so that they would be able to pinpoint you in your office, and when you are, you know, incapacitated through smoke inhalation but were able to reach up and hit that 911, the fireman shows up at your door and not over at the administration's office.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Great example.
So live.
Yeah. I can see the flames.
Yeah, I did. Any more questions? I just have one statement to the sponsor, and I went home over the weekend and had a different position until I came back. We had an accident last year in Haines, and people came upon the accident, dialed 911, it went to Juneau. And unfortunately, it took them an hour and a half to figure out what was going on. In the meantime, the person had passed away on the highway, whereas normally anywhere, you know, ambulance service, he was within 5 miles of town, even less than that, maybe 2.5, about 2 miles, it would have saved him. But through the confusion, so people were asking me about this, and it was the kids. It wasn't the parents, the older people. It was the younger children who felt sorry for the children who the father passed on. So they said it was a good bill. And I don't know how they're following it, or kids are, but maybe because they don't pay the $2 for their cell phones.
Up to $2.
Up to $2, yeah. But I believe it's a good idea. But I am, you know, worried about Big Brother, but I think that'll activate only when I call 911.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like just to truly, as I've now stepped in as a sponsor on this bill, and I, you know, there's been a lot of testimony that I was not involved in previously, so with respect, I'm not familiar with the exact testimony that's occurred, but as you point out, sir, what I asked the legislature to keep in mind is that this is first and foremost a bill about saving lives. People that died on the highway near your community, those lives might have been saved. Now, this bill, this is such a complex issue in the state. I mean, that map right behind you, sir, all you had to do is look at that and realize the complexity, the different first responder agencies, the wide distances we have in the state. This bill does not solve all those problems. This bill is, I truly believe that I'd ask you to consider it, a cornerstone bill from which we as a legislature make a commitment to continue to build emergency response capability and the ability of people across this state to access emergency response when they need it. But this, again, would be a cornerstone bill for that. And you have my full commitment to keep working, particularly to bring these services statewide.
Thank you. No more questions? We have, what, just two people online?
We have two off-net, and I think we have one in Kodiak.
We have one in, we have, yeah, we'll start in Kodiak. Linda Freed.
Good morning. My name is Linda Freed, and I'm the city manager for the city of Kodiak. I have had an opportunity to testify before you on House Bill 74, and I wanted to take this opportunity to testify on HB 249, the replacement for House Bill 74. I very much want to thank Representative Hawker for his efforts in continuing this bill. This bill is very important to municipalities. And as Representative Hawker states, we agree that this is a good start. This does not address all of the complexities of the E-911 and emergency response system for local communities in this state. But we, as we said, we think this is a very good start. I'd like to note for you that the additional section on lines 18 through 20 in the work draft that you have, which states a borough that imposes an enhanced 911 surcharge must share revenue from the surcharge with the city in the enhanced 911 service area that incurs costs for the enhanced 911 system. We believe that's a good addition to the bill. And to let you know that the city of Kodiak and the Kodiak Island Borough have already created a local agreement that specifies how those revenues will be shared. We agree with Mr. Representative Hawker's statements that this bill should be a local option and a local control and a self-determination bill. It gives us the opportunities to put in place the best system that we can for our communities. We would encourage you to move this bill forward so that we have at least these changes in state statute available this year so that we can